All right, I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Peter. I'm going to read two verses from this chapter, and then I'm going to delve into some current event content, and then return to the scriptures to more or less seal the message in our hearts. 2 Peter chapter 2. I think when I read these two verses, you're going to recognize the theme of the message today. Verse 12. And then I will skip down and read verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Now, this is very harsh language coming from Simon Peter. But oftentimes, harsh language is necessary. But these, as natural brute beasts, he's talking about people, but he calls them as natural brute beasts, comparing their conduct and their behavior to the animal kingdom, made to be taken and destroyed. These people are so vile and so wicked that the only thing that can be done to them is destroy them. Like a rabid dog or a mad animal that's lost all control of its inhibitions. The only thing you can do is put it down. Peter is saying that about these wicked people he's talking about. So this is pretty harsh, I would say. But these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed speak evil of the things that they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Underline that last word, corruption. Now John Gill writes this short commentary on this passage. Even in those things which they might and do know by the light of nature. See, that's the thing that you don't read in modern commentaries. Modern commentaries have no understanding of God's natural laws. I've got a lot of messages and several books in our store on the subject of natural law. If you don't understand natural law, you can't understand the Bible. Oh, do I need to say that again? If you don't understand natural law, you can't understand the Bible. Amen. Now notice how John Gill, an 18th century scholar, predecessor of Charles Spurgeon, for in those things which they might and do know, by the light of nature, they have the light of nature in their hearts as all men do. They corrupt themselves. And being given up to judicial blindness or no regard for justice. And a reprobate mind call good evil and evil good. Well, how many people do we know today that fall into that category? Yeah. Peter calls them brute beasts. Now, the second verse is verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. So there it is again, corruption. While they promise them, others, people, liberty, they themselves are the servants, the slaves of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. In bondage to corruption. Corruption controls them. They cannot think for themselves. They cannot act for themselves. They are under the bondage of corruption. Once a person gives him or herself over to corruption, they become slaves to that corruption. And that is exactly what Peter is telling us in verse 19. Now, here is where I'm going to do something a little bit different from most of my messages. I want to read a portion of my syndicated column this past Thursday. If you do not receive my syndicated columns, they are free of charge, and they will come to your email inbox every Thursday if you subscribe. All you have to do to subscribe is go to my page, chuckbaldwinlive.com. At the very top, all you got to do is enter in your email address and push the button that says subscribe, and bingo, you'll get our email columns in your inbox each week. And again, there's no charge for that. So the column last week, I quoted from a college university professor. The institution is actually Columbia University. He is a professor there, and he's the director of the Center for Sustainable Development at Columbia. His name is Dr. Jeffrey Sachs. Now, let me just put a disclaimer up front. I know nothing about Dr. Sachs's personal life. I don't know anything about his religious life. I don't know anything about his faith system, if he has one at all, or what it is. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Truth is truth, no matter who says it. And there are many people today that are not in the church or in the evangelical church, the fundamentalist, quote, Bible-believing church, that are consistently saying more truthful things than many people that are in the church. And that is a tragic commentary on the churches of America today. So I want to read a segment of what I quoted from him, and this is a roundtable discussion that Dr. Sachs was invited to, which took place in Hong Kong, China. And it was basically focused on psychology and the impact of the psychological conditions existing in the leaders of our world today. So it was a scholarly kind of assemblage, and the content was obviously scholarly as well. But Dr. Sachs had some very profound and very truthful things to say that I had to put in my column. And I probably at least half of my column on Thursday was devoted to his comments, which is very unusual for one of my columns. I'm going to quote a segment of that in the message today because I want it on record from this podium. Quoting Dr. Jeffrey Sachs. First of all, things are opaque, as is obvious, because we don't have a word of honesty from the United States government or from the Israeli government. Everything is propaganda, morning till night. I think Donald Trump is literally mentally ill to a very serious extent. He is, from a personality point of view, a malignant narcissist, or if you want a more classical diagnosis, a dark triad personality, which means that he is personally narcissistic. He is a Machiavellian, which means that in, I think, psychological terms, that he is manipulative, untrustworthy, deceitful, and he is psychopathic, meaning that there is no empathy for how many people he kills or how much damage is done. The malignant narcissist definition adds paranoia and confabulation to this list. A man like this should not be president. This is the most basic point. He is president because of a much deeper problem in the American political system. So he is a symptom as well as a cause. You don't elect a person like this in a healthy political system. The American political system is deeply corrupted. Remember what Simon Peter just said in his book. The American political system is deeply corrupted. The ability of a man like this to have the power that he does to order a war is profoundly broken political order. This is the second time in a row that we have had a president suffering from dementia. And what's interesting also is that with Biden, who had dementia for the last 2 years at least of his administration, it was all covered up until he stood there gaping in front of a camera, drooling to all the American people watching in a debate, and no one could hide it on camera. My country's pathetic right now in the political system. Yes. It's a show. This is a Columbia University professor. My country is a pathetic right now. It's a show. And this was true with Biden, but it's much worse with Trump. Biden was not a nice person. I've known him for about 30 years. He never was a nice person. But he was not like Trump, with a deeply antisocial personality disorder. This is denied every moment of public discourse. It's just amazing. Take what happened in the last 3 days. First, the president said, quote, I'm going to blow up everything. I'm going to kill all of you, close quote. Oh, then you have the commentators, quote, oh, will he kill everybody, close quote. Well, that's an interesting question, close quote. Not, quote, are we in the hands of a madman, close quote. Nothing like that. No one commentary says, quote, that's a little strange for the president of the United States to be talking like that, talking sorry like Adolf Hitler. No, not even a mention of that, that this is a little strange. Then 2 days later, when he decides that he's not going to kill everyone, he says, quote, oh, we're close to an agreement, close quote. And of course, there was no negotiation, period. But what does the press say? Quote, oh, well, will Donald Trump be able to get an agreement? Close quote. Not, quote, what a loon. What a liar. Close quote. Nothing. I want you to listen to this next sentence. It's so profound. It's a complete normalization of something completely abnormal. Nothing anybody has said in the last 30 days is more truthful than that sentence. It's a complete normalization of something completely abnormal. that a president of the United States could talk like this and no one question it. Back to Dr. Sacks. I've never seen anything like this. Who's crazier, Trump or us? How can we not be grown-ups and say, that man's a loon? Get him out of there before he kills us all. Yes. Nobody says this. Sorry, this is not a partisan statement. I've hated all our recent presidents. You gotta like this guy. Because they don't make us safe. They don't tell the truth. Amen and amen. The last paragraph. But this is something absolutely different, what's happening right now. And it's all normalized. Close quote, Dr. Jeffrey Sacks. Then in my column, I wrote these words. When our country can have two successive deranged presidents, one from each party, and American society refuses to even acknowledge the issue, it is an indictment not of Biden or Trump, but of America in its entirety. Amen. It means that as a society, as a cultural, and even at a faith level, we are totally and thoroughly corrupt. Sacks is right. Corrupt, criminal, and even crazy presidents are now normalized on both the right and the left, in both the Democrat and Republican parties, among the churched and the unchurched. Corruption itself is now considered normal, and that's the heart of our problem. I continue to maintain that the corruption of American society began with the corruption of the American pulpit. Pulpits on the left tolerated and justified Biden. Pulpits on the right tolerate and justify Trump. The result, the moral compass of America is gone. And then my last paragraph that I'll quote to you. It should not matter if one is an evangelical Protestant or a mainline Protestant or a Roman Catholic or a Greek or Russian Orthodox or a person of no faith system. One should understand that no nation is long for this world when it ubiquitously loses the principles of basic human integrity, honesty, and character. I thought it was important that those words be added to this address. Now let's go back to the scriptures and see how God in his word describes corruption. I'm going to begin with a verse from Genesis chapter 6 and verse 11. Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. Now, as we go through these verses, I think it's going to become clear to you God's definition of corruption. Chapter 6, verse 11, book of Genesis. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with, if you're there, what's the word?
Violence.
Violence is a sign of corruption. The love of war and bloodshed is a sign of corruption. Violence as normal, acceptable conduct is a sign of human corruption. Mr. Trump has not yet said this publicly, But all of the people in the know of things going on within the White House and Pentagon are repeatedly reporting that Mr. Trump is cajoling the Pentagon, our generals, the chiefs of staff, etc., to launch tactical nuclear weapons against Iran. I want to say this right here. Any president, I don't care what party, what his name is, conservative or liberal, any president that would even in his mind consider the use of nuclear weapons in a first strike scenario should be removed from office post haste. Any man that would be as mad as that is unfit to be president. He's unfit to be a congressman. He's unfit to be a senator. He's unfit to be a dog catcher. This isn't 1945. As dastardly as those two atomic weapons were in Japan. And we as the United States have the ignoble distinction of being the only nation in the world that has ever used atomic weapons against human beings. But in 1945, nobody else had atomic weapons. That's not true today. Today, there are several nations that have fully equipped arsenals of nuclear weapons and are able to hit any spot in the continental United States. And I'm not talking about Iran. One nuclear weapon will open Pandora's box of global nuclear war. And nobody wins a global nuclear war. There's no such thing as winning a global nuclear war. But we are dealing with men. And Mr. Trump is not the only one. You can throw Benjamin Netanyahu in that list, who are completely pathological and have no feeling whatsoever of the harm and the hurt of other people. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Ever since the end of World War II, America has gone from one war to another 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 war. All of them unconstitutional. None of them won. All of them illegal and immoral. And yet both parties in Congress are equally pro-war. Amen. Psalm 73, verse 8 is our next stop. Psalm 73 and verse 8. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. Underline that word, oppression. They speak loftily. Adam Clark, again, 18th century. They vindicate excessive acts of God. Listen to this. This is a man writing in the 18th century. They vindicate excessive acts of government. They push justice to its rigor. They neither show equity, lenity, or leniency, nor mercy. They are cruel, and they vindicate their proceedings. Oppression, the abuse, torture, killing of innocent civilians. Whenever you hear these people talk about sanctions, do you know what sanctions are? Sanctions are slow motion murder of innocent civilian populations. Sanctions equate to little babies not having milk, to people who are sick not having medicine, to the elderly who have special needs due to their age not being able to get medical attention. It means average people in the towns of that particular nation not having food on the shelves at the grocery store. It means that many of them do not have fresh drinkable water. It means that oftentimes they do not have electricity for perhaps days on end. It means the slow deaths via starvation, lack of water, lack of medicine, diseases over time, controlling, torturing, and killing little innocent children, elderly people, average citizens. It's not aimed at the government of the country. Sanctions are the coward's army, the coward's war. They know they can't take on the country head on, mano mano. And so they implement sanctions to starve and torture the civilians of that country. That's what sanctions are. Iran has been the most sanctioned nation in the world over the last 50 years. And after 50 years of those kind of sanctions, that nation beat the United States of America's military on the battlefield in 2026. I don't know that that deserves a clap. The point is, sanctions don't work, except they kill a lot of innocent people. Excessive acts of government, oppression, that's a sign of corruption, according to Psalm 73:8. Look at Proverbs 25:6. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. John Gill writes, bowing before him, yielding to him, not daring to oppose or reprove him, and especially if he joins with the wicked man in his course of living. and particularly if a civil magistrate and acts unrighteously in his office. In other words, so bowing down, yielding to, not daring to oppose or reprove, especially if he's a civil magistrate, if he's a governor, if he's a congressman, a senator, if he's a president. Think of all these pastors in America today that are groveling, bowing down before President Trump. They do that before every president. It doesn't matter who it is. They bow down in front of them. They're not willing to say anything about them. They're not willing to approve them. Oh, don't forget their 501c3 tax-exempt nonprofit organization. That's always in the back of their mind. That's a sign of corruption. The unwillingness to stand against a wicked man. Not only to not reprove him, but to bow down to him, to acquiesce and surrender to him. Sign of corruption. Now we go to the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Listen to this. Everybody says the King James is hard to read. I guess I've been reading it so long, I can just read it easily. But, you know, you read it for just a few months, and it will not be difficult. It's only difficult because you have been so underschooled in our public education and many times private education systems, that we're not able to read real English. You know, we got things like, "Hey, man, got you doing? How are you?" "Yeah, man, doing great." "Oh, yeah, how are you?" "How you doing, man?" "Ooh, I'm doing, I'm all right." Don't blame the King James because you're not smart enough to read English. This makes perfect sense. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. Is that hard?
No.
Destitute of truth. Supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Who's that talking about? Joel Osteen. Paula White. Kenneth Copeland. All these prosperity preachers. Supposing that gain, riches, is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. That's a command. Everybody sitting in Joel Osteen Church is disobeying 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5. Everybody sitting in Kenneth Copeland's church is disobedient to the Word of God. Everybody that is watching Paula White is
crazy.
Well said. If gain is godliness, then Bill Gates is one of the most godly people in the world, right? The mass eugenicist. You know, Gates did say something good this week, though. No, he really did. He said that AI posed the greatest threat to mankind in the current era. I'm trying to think of something else good that he said, and I'm not coming up with anything else. But, I mean, Bill Gates. The man is a killer. The man who experiments on little black children in Africa who have all kinds of diseases and they don't have the ability to treat them because they're a backward continent. And he goes over there and uses his experimental drugs and puts them in those little children. And whatever happens to them happens, and he doesn't care. They are guinea pigs for him. As far as I'm concerned, Bill Gates is a monster. Yeah. But he's godly because he's got a lot of gain. Look at all the billionaires of this world. How many of them would you put in the godly category? I mean, this whole idea that money is associated with, compared to, equated to godliness is a devilish doctrine from top to bottom. Godliness has nothing to do with how much money you have or don't have. Godliness is a condition of the heart, not your wallet or your bank account. In fact, some of the most evil people in the world are people with a lot of money. Seems like money has a tendency to corrupt people all by itself. Seems like the richer they get, the more corrupt they get. I'm sure that's not true with everybody, thank God, but that seems to be the norm. That's corruption. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Reprobate concerning the faith of the new covenant. Adam Clark writes, the apostle is referring to Judaizing teachers who were perverting the church with their doctrines. The Judaizers are corrupt. The churches of America, the evangelical churches, is not so true in the mainline Protestant churches. But the evangelical churches of America today are filled with Judaizers and Judaistic doctrines. And the mixture of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, or even the domination of the Old Covenant over the New Covenant. According to Paul in 2 Timothy verse 3, verse 8, that's a corrupt mind. Anyone who is a Judaizer has a corrupt mind. And any church that allows the Judaizing Old Covenant doctrines to infiltrate and even dominate a New Covenant worship in the New Covenant church is allowing that church to be corrupted, and that pastor that allows it is himself corrupt. It is a corrupt system. All you have to do is look at the state of Israel to give you an idea of how corrupt the Judaization of our churches is. And then lastly, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any man, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. John Gill writes this, that is, lest their judgment should be misled, their minds be vitiated with corrupt principles, and be carried away in any degree with the error of the wicked from off the pure and simple doctrine of the gospel, which represents the person and grace of Christ, and chiefly lies in this one plain, easy, and important truth: salvation alone by Christ. And there's a lot of churches that are corrupting that simple gospel. of salvation by grace through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to add this before I close. We need to be very careful because the winds of false doctrine are blowing hard on the church today. These people that reject the new covenant are rejecting a whole lot more than what you might think they're rejecting. It's a lot more sinister and nefarious than you may understand at the superficial level. A lot of these people that are talking about Christian nationalism their true belief system is much deeper than that. When they talk about Christian nationalism, they're really not talking about Christian nationalism at all. Christianity is not their focus. They use the term Christian to deceive people who call themselves Christians or who identify with Christianity. But it's a ruse. Hidden deeply behind that phraseology is deep-seated and intense racism. It's not popular to advance racist ideology in our country today. Thank God. So they know they can't openly say everything that they want to say and everything that they believe, so they couch it in this Christian nationalism rubric. But what it goes back to is racism. Maybe not all of them, but many of them, if not most of them, believe that the Israelites of the Old Testament are still with us. They're still here. But they're not the Israelis over in Palestine. They're the Caucasian race, the Anglo-Saxons of Europe and America. What they're really saying is white nationalism, not Christian nationalism. That's what they believe. That's why Mr. Hegseth is firing so many minorities in the upper levels of the command structure in our U.S. military, and women as well. Because along with the idea of white nationalism goes goes with male superiority. Under their, you quiz them at length, and if they're not prepared and if they caught off guard and they're kind of free to talk, you'll find out what they really believe. They really believe that women don't have the right to vote. They really believe that black people don't have the right to vote, or Hispanics don't have the right to vote. They really believe that only white Caucasian men have the right to vote. Only white Caucasian men have the right to be in a position of leadership. That no woman or no black person should be in the United States government. They want to return the legal system. They don't like the Constitution. They are violently opposed to the Constitution. They do not like our founding fathers. They incriminate, denigrate our founding fathers constantly. They believe that our founding fathers were evil men. They believe that our Constitution is an evil document. You say, well, what in the world do they want to do? They want to take the old covenant law of Moses and codify it as the law of the land in America. So they want to bring back capital punishment for all the sins of the Old Testament. Well, that would include things like if a child cussed or cursed his parent. That's one of them. Under the law of Moses, that child would be stoned to death. They want to bring that back. And by the way, they want to bring back stoning as a means of capital punishment. Get away with the electric chair, the gas chamber, and go back to the old days of stoning under the law. They want to bring back public flogging. They want to bring back cutting off a hand if you steal something. Plucking out an eye if you look at something you shouldn't have looked at. Things like that. They want to bring back the old covenant law and make that the official law of the land for our country. And of course, it's all governed by white males. This thing is far more subversive, nefarious, and evil than you can possibly imagine. I've only skimmed the surface. But this movement is gaining momentum within the right Christian conservatives of our country. You need to understand what that is all about. And you need to tell as many of your friends as you can about what that's all about. Because this thing is deceiving people by the tens of thousands, especially young people who are fed up with the corruption of the current system. And I am with them on that. The system is corrupt, and the people of the United States need to clean house. But we need to do it under the rubric of law as prescribed by, and I'm sorry, the Constitution of the United States of America. Can you imagine putting a bunch of white supremacist pastors in charge of our political institutions? God help us. Nobody would be safe. You talk about persecution. I believe this year is going to see a lot of changes before it comes to a conclusion on December 31st. I think there's a lot of things going to happen between now and then. Some of them are going to be bad, and I believe some of them are going to be very good. I think it's a growing consensus among people across all spectrums of society that our two-party system, as it exists, is totally, thoroughly corrupt. Anytime you can put a Joe Biden and a Donald Trump back-to-back as presidents of the United States, in the mental and physical conditions of each of those men and the overall consensus of the media and the Congress and anybody that has any kind of a public voice is absolute apathy and indifference, that is major corruption. I don't know what's on the horizon. I'm not a prophet. But I do believe that we are going to see some changes in this country, some for the better and some for the worse, but change is coming. I truly believe that. And I'm glad that Liberty Fellowship is here at this day and hour to be able to be the voice to the world of the new covenant of the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring people out of this darkness of confusion and corruption into the simplicity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me wrap it up with a quick review. Let me list the evidence of a corrupt society that we've seen in the scripture today. Number one, ignoring the light of nature that we all have been given by God at creation. Number two, blindness to the laws of justice. Number three, normalizing the abnormal. Number four, the love of violence and war. Number five, support for oppression, prejudice, and hatred. What's next? Six, failure to oppose wicked civil magistrates. Seven, support for prosperity theology. Eight, acceptance of and adherence to Judaizing teachers. And number nine, rejection of the gospel truth of salvation by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the biblical evidences of a corrupt society. I think you can all see that according to the Word of God, our country is corrupt. We are living in days of corruption, but we don't have to be among them. And we can be a light of truth against this darkness. We are the salt of the earth. Let your light, the light of Christ, shine to all men. And beloved, whatever you do, do not let corrupt men corrupt you. Amen. Let's stand.